Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege to come together to speak and to hear thy word, believing, Lord, that you have come down with a message, O God. And yet, Father, we have over 2,000 or 2 million people that claim to believe the message, yet we see in the first Exodus, the second and the third, there was a great falling away that took place, and not all that followed entered in. In fact, in the days of Moses, we only saw 2 out of the original 2 million. And Father, we know that as it was in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls will be saved. So, Father, we recognize that it would be no different, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever in this hour. So help us, O God, to be amongst those who will receive rapturing faith and not among those who are reprobate concerning the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The message tonight is quite sobering. I've entitled it Rapturing Faith or Reprobate Concerning the Faith. And this evening I'd like to speak on the subject of rapturing faith or reprobate concerning the faith, because there are 2 groups at this end time. And those who claim to follow the pillar of fire will fall into one of these 2 classes of believers. One hears a message and he enters into the faith of the Son of God. That is to say, they actually have the message revealed to them, and they step into that revelation, whereas the other group hears the same message, but because they do not enter into that faith of the Son of God, and that is because it is not really revealed to them, they end up missing it altogether, and the message has no effect upon them. In his sermon, God's only provided a place of worship. Brother Branham said, I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and beginning to understand. But friends, listen, we've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened. Now, before we go any further, I want you to just stop and notice how Brother Branham is associating the laying in the presence of the Son with the ripening of our faith. Then he says, our faith isn't ripe. Intellectually, we're hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that he showed us, and proving it by the Bible is that, but oh, how the church needs to lay in his presence till it tenders up in his heart, gets sweet in the spirit, so that it can bathe down. Sometimes in speaking the message, you get harsh, have to break it in like that, because you've got to clench a nail to make it whole. But when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated, then in the presence of God, I know it'll be something like the people was there when it takes the rapture. And now, of course, we understand Brother Branham was talking about those people that he met on the other side when he was translated up. Our Brother Brown is letting us know that something happens when we come to the place of laying in the presence of the Son to ripen. After all, you've got to know where that place is and then get to it. To lay in it, it shows that you have entered into a rest which can only come from complete trust. He says, once we lay in the presence of the Son, and once we begin to understand the message, and once we understand it, then something else happens. He says we become separated. Now notice his word here. He says, but when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated, then in the presence of God, I know it'll be something like the people was there when it takes its rapture. Now remember, Abraham never received the blessing from God until he was separated from Lot. But it wasn't him separating himself from Lot, it was actually Lot separating himself. He gave Lot a choice, and he wanted to go back to Sodom. So then what we are seeing here is our separation comes from the fact that we are truly, truly have come into his presence. Now remember in Genesis 1, when God speaks the first time, there's a separation that takes place. The light separates from darkness. Then the next time that God speaks, there is another separation that takes place. The waters from above are separated from the waters from below. And then the third time God speaks, there is another separation, as every seed after its kind. In other words, the law of life goes into effect, and every seed, in order to multiply, must first divide and separate itself. Again, remember in John chapter 3, where evil avoids the light, but those who love the truth and have their source in God, they come to the light. So, this evening I wish to focus our thoughts on these two groups of people and where the same word leads both. Point number one, separation, as it has to do with the ripening of our faith. And point number two, how the ripening of our faith brings us to the place of rapturing faith. Now let's begin by reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, all the way through chapter 2 and verse 3. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And we have the picture right there. He's already done it. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And that means we should be in rest, because the seventh seal, Brother Brown knocked seven times, brings rest. In flaming fire, he takes vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from or out from the presence of the Lord. So you've got two groups here. You've got one who's in the presence, one who's taken out of the presence. And from the glory of his power. In other words, the doxa of his dunamis. The understanding the values and the opinions of God's power. Okay, the power is his word. You know, the word of God is the power of God unto us. Romans 1:18. All right. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray also for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, notice, in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming or the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now notice here, we are looking at two groups of people. Those who are being gathered to him, and those who are being separated from him. And as we read further, I want you to recognize the difference between these two groups. You'll find it is faith. The faith of the Son of God. Now in verse 3, we see a falling away that must come first. This falling away comes via attrition. It is actually a divorcement, but comes through attrition. Now notice, in every Exodus there is two groups. Both come out. But what makes them different is that one group goes on and goes in, while the other group stops or goes back where they came out from. All right? So they all come out at the Exodus, but only part of that group goes in. Now remember, Brother Brown said in his message, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, ever learning, he's quoting scripture, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that word knowledge is gnosko, and it's actually a experiential knowing. Now here's a shocking. Here's the shocking part. Now listen to this. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith that was once delivered to the saints, of course, concerning the faith. And he shall turn the faith of the fathers, or the children, back to the fathers, reprobate concerning the faith. Now Brother Brown, just keep emphasizing the faith. All right. You know what reprobate means? If you got a Scofield Bible, there's a H there. Now, right up there, it says apostasy, in apostasy. That's what it is. Now, just a minute. I want to look something up. I think I wrote it down right. I'm not sure, but I want to say it and look it up before I say it. Now, just 1 minute. Reprobate concerning the truth, concerning the faith, the faith. There's only one faith. That's right. Concerning the faith, reprobate. Now, I want you to read Luke. I want to read Luke 18, just a minute. You don't need to put it down. You don't have to read it. And he spake a parable unto them, unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God and regarded not man. And there was a widow in the same city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his elect, which crieth night and day unto him? though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, Jesus leaves this parable with a question. And Brother Brown continues, says, now that's the question. Here's where I want to get to. In Revelation 10, we will get to it in a few minutes, to another scripture verse. He said, in the days of the message of the seventh angel, the mystery of God ought to be finished. Here's the question. The question is, if you follow in that line, in this, will it be finished? Will I find faith? Will Malachi 4 be fulfilled in this time? Restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the fathers, the original word, see? Reprobates. Jannes and Jambres, as they withstood. Now also listen, 2 Timothy 3 and 8, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, also in the last days, these reprobates would come. Now, see where it says here? Having a form of godliness, anointed ones. Now, let's just go back and read it when you get home so that I can finish it. Finish out this morning, if you can. So we're just going to read it, and then we'll continue with what he's saying. Now, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobates concerning the faith. All right, remember, there's only one the faith, and that's the faith of the one Lord. All right? Now, notice Brother Brown continues, reprobates concerning the faith, not reprobates in living. They're fine, cultured men. Now, notice, when Moses went down into Egypt with a message of thus saith the Lord and was vindicated, called on Israel, which was a people, not a church. Israel was a people. They never was a church because the word church means called out ones. They were the people of God. Then when they become anointed under the word and called out, they become the church of God and then backslid because they believed not the word of God and listened to a false prophet. I hope that sinks in. Israel being a people of God, come out under the hand of God, anointed with the word, with the power of God, seeing the signs and wonders of God, and then when God was moving on with them, a false prophet come in, anointed, and taught something contrary to that original word that they heard, and every one of them perished in the wilderness besides three. Now, hold it. As it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls were saved by water, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, wherein three came out of Sodom, so shall it be in the time when the Son of Man shall be revealed. I'm only quoting scripture, the Lord's word, which heavens and earth will pass away. It'll be a minority. Now, keep that in mind as we examine this evening. Because he is not talking about Egypt or the world here. He's talking about the 2 million people who followed the pillar of fire. And God keeps his word. The Bible said they'd be lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good. Having a form of godliness, just like they did, but denying the power thereof, the word. If they speak not according to that, there's no life to them. That's right. Having a form of godliness, but denying from such turn away, for this is the sort that goes from house to house with their books and campaigns and so forth, and leads silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the truth. What kind are they? Jannes and Jambres have all kinds of fantastics and everything. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these resist the truth, men of reprobate mind concerning the word, trying to take the word of God and pervert it into something else. Into a fantastic or a religious organization, or build them up a great name, or make themselves some great name, from such turn away, stay with the word. Now, according to Vines, the word reprobate, it means unable to pass the test. Because these are men whose moral sense is perverted, whose minds are beclouded with their own speculations. And the word beclouded means their minds are clouded over or muddled with their own thoughts on why things are and what they ought to be. In other words, they have not let their thinking go. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, We're Falling Apart, he said, now, just don't be worked up. Don't just say, I belong to church. You be sure of that. If Christ doesn't live you, till all your mind, heart, soul, body, you say, well, I think you haven't got no thought coming, brother. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. I think the days oughtn't to be. I think this oughtn't to be. I think the word don't mean this. We have no thought coming. If the mind of Christ is in us, then we'll recognize that word to be the truth and it'll live right through us. You can't help it. It's Christ. Take the life out of the watermelon vine and put it in the pumpkin vine. It'll bear watermelons. You can't keep from it because the life in it is. And if you say, well, I don't believe that the word here, then that ain't the Spirit of Christ. See, there's some other spirit in you. So he said, we have no thought coming. And many who claim to follow this message have not yet learned that. That's why you got false doctrines in this message, far worse than those in denominations. Like two souls. Show me where two souls is in the denominations. Show me where female Holy Ghost, well, I guess it was taught, and it actually went in the Methodist church, but female Holy Ghost. You'd never find that in a Baptist church. Pentecostal. Ace messenger doctrines. Seven thunder doctrines. Two lords. Show me that. Show me one denomination that would be preaching two lords. Now they preach three. But two? Good grief. Show me any of those in the Bible. You can't do it. The Bible says the soul that sinneth it shall die, but if that soul shall repent it shall live. Not two souls, one soul. Either it lives or it dies. Not two lords, one Lord. Not two Christs, one Christ. By one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. One faith, one Lord, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 4, 5 to 6. Now, let's read 2 Timothy 3 and 8 again. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate. Totally no clue concerning the faith. Now, the first seal, from the first seal, Brother Brown said, God has promised it. When the word is refused, then they are turned to their own desires. Let's read Thessalonians again. I want you to watch here just a minute. And say, well, we read it a while ago, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-11. It said that they would, turning down, rejecting the truth, they would be given over to a reprobate mind and would believe a lie and would be damned by it. That's what the Holy Spirit said, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-11. So let's read it again. All right. Brother Branham says, from just once more, he says, Samson knew one thing. I wonder if the church realizes today. He knew that his backslidden condition couldn't meet the challenge of the hour. And I know today that the backslidden condition of the church can't meet the challenge of this hour. And it's going to be worse. The Bible said, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will they, men of reprobate mind, concerning the faith, they can almost impersonate it exactly. But notice, but they are reprobate. Concerning what? The faith. The revelation of Jesus Christ in the believer. From identified Christ of all ages, Heavenly Father, you said it shall be light at the evening time. We see, Lord, all signs, nations are breaking. Israel's in their homeland, earthquakes in diverse places, man's hearts failing, perverted minds, reprobate concerning the truth. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, you said men of reprobate minds given over to a delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. But you promised in that day that you'd make yourself known, the Son of Man would be revealed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever by his same characteristics that identified him in every age. And from who is Jesus? He said, now, you know he said that it would be in the last days, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these men of reprobate mind concerning the truth. That's right. We see just simply impersonations, so it does get a bit confusing to the people. And anointed, why does it get confusing? Because they're good people. They're good people. They claim to love the message of Brother Branham brought. They claim to love Jesus. They claim to believe Jesus is their Lord and Savior. That's why it's confusing. But there's no revelation. They're not living by the revelation of the Son of God. In other words, they have not taken for themselves the revelation that Jesus lived by. From an ordinance at the end time, reprobate, Jannes and Jambres as they withstood. Now notice, 2 Timothy 3 and 8, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, also in the last days these reprobates would come. Now, see what it is? Having a form of godliness, anointed ones. Again, from anointed ones at the end time, paragraph 257. Now notice, that was Jesus speaking. Here comes Paul right behind him and said, now in the last days there will come religious people, see, having a form of godliness and lead silly women, led away with all kinds of worldly lusts, and they wonder and they say, why do you pick on them women? Oh, for goodness. They just don't see it. lead silly women laden with diverse lusts away from things like, well, that's of the Bible, see? And as Jannes and Jambres, Matthew 24:24, false Christ, false anointed, doing signs and wonders to deceive the elected. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these reprobates, reprobate mind concerning the faith. Not a faith, the faith. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. And from the rapture, when Moses went down into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel with only a stick in his hand for vindication, with the God of heaven behind him, he performed a miracle. And there come impersonators behind him and doing the same thing he did. See, now they come a second after he did it first. Then they come around because they were copying after what he did, impersonating the original. And we find that. And now you say, well, that was in the days of Moses, but the same scripture says that they'll come again in the last days. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these men of reprobate mind concerning truth. See, impersonations of all kinds of things to upset the people. Now, they've got their own ideas of what the message is, and so they think that if they can do the same things to any degree, that they have the message, or that is the message. But Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here. If that is the one thing that they cannot take. And they don't want that, and they call it false doctrine, and they justify their own beclouded ideas as okay, since they claim that they are following Brother Branham. But the real message is Christ in our midst. If they don't want that, and in fact they reject it, and turn to something that focuses attention away from the one who's come down, and they focus on themselves, their group, their organization, or whatever. Amen. From leadership, Brother Branson, and do you know that same thing promised again in the last days, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these men of reprobate mind concerning the truth see in the last days and do the same thing, impersonate everything, right on in the same gully, hog going to its wallow and dog to its vomit. Again, from Matthew 23:28, we read, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus is speaking here. And so we ask ourselves, what is iniquity? It's they know to do right, but they won't do it. They know the quotes are there, the scriptures are there, but they say, you know, just don't use it. Don't focus there. From Luke 12:1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now we know that the leaven of the Pharisees was their doctrine. So their doctrine is hypocrisy. All right? Galatians 2:13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Notice these false brethren came in Acts chapter 15 and in Galatians chapter 2, and we see that even believers like Barnabas got caught up into their dissimulations. Luke 20:20, and they watched him and sent forth spies, which should show themselves just men, and they that they might take a hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. In other words, they feigned themselves as, well, precious brother, you know, we believe in Jesus. We want to hear what you have to say. And so tell us. And so when Jesus told them, then they take his words and they use it against him. We see it in politics today. We see it in the churches today. All right. I take the prophet's words and I show you what the prophet says by the scriptures. And people say, well, he's trying to make himself bigger than the prophet. I've never claimed anything. I'm just saying what he said. And that's all he said. Just say what's on the tapes. Say all that's on the tapes. In 2 Peter 2:1-3, he says, but as there were false prophets among the people, even so shall there be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, made up words, pretentious words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Again, we read in 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now how do they fall away? By giving heed to, the Greek word here means that means that which holds the mind. So giving heed, or their minds are held by what this person has to say. In other words, these seductive, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils get a hold of the mind and they hold on to it by giving heed to seducing spirits by implication, an imposter or misleader, a deceiver, seducer. And doctrines of devils, the teachings of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, willingly, they say, Lee Vail and Brian Kosorek, they teach two gods. I've never taught two gods in my life. I don't believe in two gods. There's only one God. And those men know better, but they do it anyway. Now, what does that tell you? These men know better, but because they have a conscience that has been seared with a hot iron, in other words, their conscience have become scarred over for life. Their conscience is no longer soft and pliable, but it is scarred, tough, and stiff. And stiff and determined to do what it wants to do, because there is no changing them. They have crystallized in their thinking. They know better, but they're hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrite, according to Webster, is a stage actor, a pretender, a person who pretends to be what he's not, just play acting. The Bible calls them hypocritical liars, men who take up another man's statement as if it were their own. And they impersonate, they simulate, they feign, and they pretend. Now, it says that their minds or their hearts have been seared. They know better, but they must have it their way. They do not live by faith, by the faith, yet they claim to have faith because they have signs and wonders following. Or so they claim. These men do not have the faith of the Son of God, and that is why Jesus said, "When I come, shall I find faith?" They think that signs and wonders and miracles justify them, and they don't need to believe what Brother Brown said in his message to declare him that he's here. In other words, what good is a sign or wonder if God is if his presence isn't there? Brother Brown said his whole ministry, let's just read it from that time. He says, there are apostles and prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. Not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not all are evangelists. But I'm standing here, but my ministry is different ministry from a pastor or a teacher. I'm not. And if I say things wrong, brethren, forgive me, I don't mean it. But this is my ministry, see, to declare him that he's here. And again, from Way to Have Fellowship, he said, but my ministry is this. It just declares that God is here. All right? Now, from Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even as we believe in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So Paul is saying, look, it does not matter what you do. If you don't have the faith of Jesus Christ, if you're not living by the faith of Christ, forget it. It's all worthless. In Galatians 3:2, he says, this only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. And Galatians 3:5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. In other words, when the miracles begin to come, it's because there's a faith there. The faith of the Son of God. These men deny the one that bought them. Now look, he's here and they say he isn't here. Or, oh, he's in my heart. Or they deny the way in which he is here. Now, the body isn't the one that bought them. That is only the price that was paid. But the one that bought them is God himself, who paid the price for your life with another life, that of his son, the firstborn son. So they deny the one Lord. How do they do that? Well, by making him two. That's one way. By denying his presence. That's another way. Now, Hebrews 4:2 tells us, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Notice, it profited some, but it didn't profit the others. Why? Because they didn't have faith. It wasn't mixed with faith. You can take the doctrine, but without faith, you've got nothing. What does it produce? Adultery. Fornication, married 2-3 times, doesn't matter. You understand what I'm saying? I can look around and I can see people that have the doctrine, they've got it right as far as father and son goes, but they have it totally wrong because their life shows that they have, it's just a mental, intellectual, like Brother Adam said, we're intellectually now beginning to see and hear the message. We're beginning to intellectually, and that's all they've got. If it's not mixed with faith, it's nothing. So we see here there are two groups present with each Exodus. And what sets them apart is the effect that the Word of God has upon them. Not a different word, but the same word upon each. On one group, the word has an effect upon them, while on the other group, the same word has no effect at all. Well, I don't need to do any works because Brother Branham did the works, and so I'm counting on that. Why? Because the word is not having any effect on you, brother. That ought to scare you. To see your life and see and not see the life of Christ there, it ought to get you to your knees. On one group, the word has an effect upon, while the other group has no effect upon. Now remember, the wise version and the foolish version both heard the same midnight cry, "Behold," which is, "Look, see, the bridegroom's here, he's present." Okay, they both heard presence preached. Yet, look at the difference. It had an effect upon one. They entered in, had an effect upon the other, had no effect on the other. They said, "Oh, I guess we don't have what you got. So let's go get some oil." And when they went out, it was too late. Now we read Deuteronomy 30:20, and he said, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith." Children in whom is no faith. Now this word froward means a perverted people. This word froward means perverted. These were a perverted people, a people who cannot receive the truth for what it is, but receive a twisted truth. In other words, an intellectual one. In 2 Thessalonians 3:2, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Yeah, again, you have two groups. Those that do, those that don't. Not those that drink and those that don't drink. Okay. Guess something, you know. That's going on too. 1 Timothy 1:19, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." They put away faith, shipwreck. That's it. I want to show you this evening is this, that these two groups of people are both ordained to hear the same message at the end time. But one group receives the faith of the Son of God, and through that faith they are quickened to the message of the hour, while the other group has not received the same message by revelation, only by intellectual reasoning. It is not revealed to them, and thus they cannot put it together in the way that it will do them any good. They might have passive faith, but there's no active faith. And they thus lose what hope that they have, and through attrition they wear away. They are reprobate concerning the faith. They are they who depart from the faith. And we have shown you that the faith is the same faith or revelation that the Son of God lived by. These people cannot live by the faith of the Son of God because they have not crucified themselves, and the God life that lived in Jesus is not in them to live in them. Now this attrition we're speaking of is a wearing away or weakening to the point of exhaustion, a wearing or grinding down by affliction, and these either walk away altogether, as many who have followed the belief, like to believe the sign boys, or they revert to trying to do the message by imitating Brother Branham. Have you ever heard one of these men say that that we're to be imitators, and he misquoted the scripture in doing so? He said when Brother Branham began on the field that he just guessed, but Brother Branham said it's a million miles from a guess. So it's not to be imitators of Brother Branham. It's to put on Christ. It's to grow up into Christ. Amen. Now Israel, Kadesh Barnea, Brother Branham said, then God, after fixing Moses, getting him ready, sent out the signs. Then the last sign we taken last night was death. And we found out that spiritual death in the church. The last plague now, church is drying up, it's blowing away. Now you have to be a fool if you don't look out amongst the message people in general and recognize that it's drying up. It's drying up. You don't see the fervor you saw in the 70s. You don't see the prayer vigil and the people on their knees and seeking God and and really studying this message, studying the word to show themselves approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed. It's parties and it's social and it's all just blowing away. He said, that's right. We're living in a horrible time. How that the church, the old timers that used to really have the victory, is losing out. Dying time. Letting the blood get off the front door. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Again, from discerning of the body of the Lord, he said, we can't discern by what people think, what intellectuals tell us, what psychologists tell us. We've got to go by what God says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not discerning the Lord's body, many are weakly and sick. Many are asleep, dead, spiritually dead. The last plague that hit Egypt was death. The last plague that has hit the church is spiritual death. What we need today is a spiritual awakening to discernment. And again, from Speak to This Rock, he said, now, how easy they had forgotten that when the plague was in Egypt, that they were protected. When there was flies all over everything, there wasn't a fly around them. When lice filled all the beds, all the clothing and everything, there wasn't one bit of it on them. Frogs was in the cupboards and everything else, all over the rest of the unbelievers, but they had been protected. God showing His mercy. Notice, and when that final and great night came, God said, this is my final blow at Egypt, but before I can strike this blow, I've got to bring my children to protection. And there was a sacrificial lamb killed, and the blood was put on the posts and the lintels of the door, and the congregation went under the blood. And remember, that was the last plague that struck Egypt. And the last plague that's striking the church today is the same as it was spiritual death. Because as God led them literally, He leads us spiritually, and the last blow at the enemy is death is striking. And all from under the blood is disfellowship by the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you get under the blood? By walking in the light as He is in the light. I'm only believe, he says. You remember the last plague hit Egypt? What was the last plague that hit Egypt? Which was the type of the church going out? Was death. What's the last plague has hit the Pentecostal church? Spiritual death. It's going right on back like the rest of the world, spiritual death. But the circumcised with the blood on the door took the homeward march. That's exactly with a pillar of fire going before them to lead them away. And remember, Brother Anson, the pillar of fire is leading us to the millennium. Again from the fourth seal, he said, like he gave Egypt to the place to repent, which was the last plague, was death. That's the last plague that hit the Pentecostal church. It's spiritual death. She's dead. That's in the name of the Lord. All right, what does that mean? Thus saith the Lord. She's spiritually dead. He gave her place to repent and she rejected it. Now she's dead. She will never rise again. And from the unveiling of God, they spiritually die now. This is a spiritual veil, see? That was a natural veil. This is a spiritual veil, see? They keep walking right on up behind there, and you can tell them, oh, I know, but go ahead. It's all right. It only speaks. You remember the last plague in Egypt was death before the Exodus. The last plague on earth is spiritual death before the Exodus. Then they'll be cremated and turned back to the dust, and the righteous will walk out upon the ashes of the wicked. But the last thing is spiritual death, rejecting the word. So we see the two paths of these two groups take two different directions. The one who possesses the faith of the Son of God continues to move on with the Word and becomes conformed to the image of the firstborn Son and becomes manifested as a Son of God, being led by the pillar of fire, while the others reject the presence of the pillar of fire and thus into death, spiritually death. In other words, they stop doing anything, like Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. Now, they crystallize. Now, the difference in these two groups is that one has the gene seed of God by predestination and thus capable of being born again by the same Spirit that came to Jesus at His baptism, while the other only tries to copy or put on the form of godliness but deny the power thereof. But they are hypocrites because although they will quote the end-time prophet, yet they reject what he actually taught concerning the appearing and coming and concerning the relationship between Father and Son, which gets us into being the right kind of children to be able to be adopted, okay? And thus they end up pointing people away from the one who is here, and they instead point people to themselves or their little organizations. In the book of Matthew, Jesus told them, fill ye up the measure of your fathers. And in John 8:38, he said, I do what I see my Father do, and you do that which you see your Father do. And then in verse 41, he says, you do the deeds of your father, who was a murderer from the beginning. And then he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And so it is apparent that these men cannot be gene seed of God, or else they would do what all true sons of God will do. Then you say, why do they want to imitate Jesus? Well, the answer is, in which Jesus do they try to imitate? Now, come on. You know, we listen quite regular, which I get tired of it, but to a thing called True News. These are Pentecostal people, you know, that are trying to bring the news according to the Scripture. But I tell you what, they've gotten off into this mark of the beast and all this, you know, AI, you know, what do you call it? Artificial intelligence, and you know, they're all freaked out by what's all this stuff. And until the other night, I mean, they're reciting the Apostles' Creed, which is a total Trinitarian hogwash. Some of it's true, sure, factually, you know, some of the things are true, but not the Trinity. And yet they say, you know, well, you know, if you don't believe that, you know, you're not even a Christian. Well, Christian according to your Christian. What Jesus are you following? And that's what we're looking at. I mean, so it is apparent that these men cannot be gene seed of God, or else they would do what other sons of God have done all the way through. In Galatians 1:6, Jesus said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's the gospel of Christ that becomes perverted. They pervert it. So they try to impersonate a perverted Jesus, and that is why they have not died to self like the real Jesus died to himself. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hebrews 12:23 tells us to the general assembly of the church born of the church of the firstborn. Alright? Which are written in heaven, and to the God of the judge of all, and the spirits of the just men made perfect. So they say, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You say, well, you got three there. Oh, no, no, it's one God. No, you just said three gods. It's insanity. In Titus 2:2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Now, the word sound means to be sound, be whole, wholesome, safe, and sound. To be sound, to be well, to be in good health. Metaphorically, it's used of Christians whose opinions are free from any admixture of error, of one who keeps the grace and is strong. All right? Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So what have you got in yourself? Nothing. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, I'm dead. That's why he said, ye are dead and your life is hid, is covered over with Christ and God. Again from Jairus, the secret believer, he said, my, how great it is to know that the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will take the church in the rapture someday is present. He's here. From God has provided ways, and now we're moving right into another great age coming for the rapture of the church, and in this we're living in the time of the restoration of the gifts. It stumbled many of the big fine churches. It sent Nazarene backwards. It made fanatics out of a lot of Pentecost. But just the same, God is moving right on, bringing in the rapturing faith for his church. That's right. So tonight I represent that faith, the faith that was once delivered to the saints in the way of a divine gift. And from faith of Abraham, he said, how's he going? How's he going to rapture the church? That's up to him. I just believe he will do it. That's all. And he will do it because he said so. And from Balm and Gilead, he said, the one thing we have to move up to now is a supreme faith to what we have had. Something that you cannot have that faith until you know perfectly what you're doing. When you understand, like you walk, you just say, well, I'm going home. I'm going out and start the car. That's all an act of faith. Well, tomorrow I will meet you at a certain place. That's all an act of faith. Because you've just done it so much. Because it's a regular routine with you. Well, that's the way the things of God are. After you have trusted Him and watched Him do so many things till it becomes just like a regular routine, and that's the condition I think the church will be in just before the coming of the Lord, so the rapture will be just go right on that way. It'll be just a regular routine upon the Scriptures and the plans of God. Why do you think we're hitting so much on that life of Christ in you? It becomes a natural routine. Not something that, oh, it's Sunday. Got to go to church. Oh, it's Wednesday. Yeah, I'm tired, but you know what? I should probably be in church. I'll just flip the set. It becomes such a natural thing. And Brother Branson, when those doors open, he said, you should be there. All right? Now, for question and answers, he said, that's the way the rapture's going to be. It's not going to be some bizarre, out-of-this-world thing. It's going to be so natural to you. Yeah. From question and answer on the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, say to this mountain, and you've heard about what's been taking place. That's the ministry that we're entering into. We're way up the road now. Soon the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we've got to have rapturing faith in the church that can be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye to go out. Or we will not go. But don't worry, it'll be there. It'll be there. And when the power of this church rises, it'll bring its brethren. The power of that church rises, will bring its brethren. The power of that church will bring the other brethren. Then there'll be a general resurrection, and we're looking forward to it. And from thy house. All right? Jimmy, have you got them, my boy? His brother reads the question. When the rapture takes place, will all believers' families, wife, and children go? They are in the faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. Yes. Yes. Will all the family go in the rapture? See? Yes. Give you a good feeling? Now, if you notice, the rapture is going to be a universal thing. Will God provide a way? Oh my. Too late to pray then. Now, the first thing you know, he begins to look around. I can hear the little boy say, Daddy, did the word say that the elder son was going to be killed in the home? Yes. Well, Daddy, what about our home? Son, we're just as safe as we can be. How do you know that we're safe? We've obeyed God's word. We're under the blood. I can hear him say just a little later, after a while, I look out the window, little boy does. Look, there comes two big black wings moving through the air. That's death. And if there's any time that the black wings has shook the country today, we've had earthquakes, we've had pestilence, we've had all kinds of things that come to the land, and all like we did in Egypt. But the last plague that hit Egypt before destruction was death. And the last plague that's hit the church is spiritual death, right? That's the last thing. It's happening all around us. Mm-hmm. All around us. Not just the people that have left the message. I'm talking about people in the pews. They worship on Sunday. They worship on Wednesday. And that's it. From perfect faith. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. There. Now you're getting into bride material, see? You're getting into rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor now, but deacons, trustees, that means for the laity, every individual walks in the world with God alone. You're baptized into this kingdom and there's nobody in there but you and God. See? He gives the orders and you pack them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You're right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith, perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. Yes. He was a mystic to them with his perfect faith, and so is it now with those who have perfect faith are a mystic to others. And from the end time evangelism, Brother Brown said, now, we're going to end right here by saying this. The end time message is to get the bride ready and prepared for the rapture. What can it do, according to Malachi 4, is bring them back to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Bring them back to the faith of the fathers. The Pentecostal part in the restoration time, I will restore, saith the Lord. That's real event, end time evangelism. So let's pray. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your word, Lord, showing us that the same word, the same rain that falls upon the just falls upon the unjust, the same word that brings an effect upon and brings the bride into a perfect faith, a perfect revelation, knowing that they are living by the same revelation that the Son of God lived, and yet to others it has no effect upon them at all. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet is all they've got. And Father, we realize that there's many in Moses' day that said God sent a prophet, but when it came time to doing what the prophet told them to do, they wouldn't do it. And they perished in the wilderness. And yet we know that there are also those that entered into the promised land. So Father, we pray that we be not among those who do not enter, but we be among those whom the revelation of Jesus Christ is as real to us as it was to him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this song, In His Presence. In His presence there is comfort. In His presence there is peace. You know that? By the way, what number is that? Okay. Well, just sing out loud and help us with it.
There is in His presence.